Good morning. Children of God, siblings of Christ, the Holy Spirit has called and gathered us here. Let us worship together. My name is Chastity Jones, and I'm a member of the Zion Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. If you're visiting Zion today, please send the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored by Mavis Grohman in memory of Keith Kessler. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to who I'll give to the ministry. The sermon this morning is titled, Is This the End? By Pastor Sana. The Stewardship Committee would like to thank the 9 people who helped with the Adopt-a-Highway on Sunday, May 17th. We will be collecting the Strengthen the Church offering this morning. Envelopes are included in the bulletin, or you can make an online donation through Venco. Vacation Bible School, Living Stories at the Water's Edge will take place June 15th through the 18th at Zion, from 8:30 to 12:30. Vacation Bible School, open to all children from preschool to 6th grade. Healthy snacks and a lunch will be provided each day. You can register on our website and contact Jackie Brown for more information. Pastor Sana invites Zion members to attend her service of ordination in the Minnesota Conference of the United Christ of Church, Church of Christ, this afternoon at 3 o'clock p.m. at Living Table at New Branches, Minneapolis. Support the Fellowship Committee's Rada Cutlery fundraiser through June 30th. Every purchase of these 100% American-made kitchen tools helps fund our upcoming church projects. Order forms are on the table by the entryway, and place your order online. Now let us prepare for worship.
Today is Pentecost. Jesus has ascended, and in Jerusalem the disciples are waiting. Waiting on a promise. A promise of a new kind of baptism. Not of water, but of the Holy Spirit. Today, the church was born. The Spirit fell like fire, and a power like no other was revealed. A power of prophecy, a power of visions and dreams. People from every nation under heaven, hearing the disciples declare the wonders of God in tongues they'd never spoken, hearing the gospel in their own language. This is Pentecost. A time of signs and wonders, a time of fellowship and prayer, a day to cry out to Jesus, a day to repent and be baptized, a day to ask for forgiveness and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is Pentecost.
Good morning, Zion. Today is Pentecost. Thank you for wearing red today. Let us gather to worship this morning and celebrate the birth of the church. My name is Sana, and I'm leading worship this morning. Whether you're here for the first time or the first time in a long time, you are welcomed here. God has gifted us the Holy Spirit who abides and resides in us. Let us remember that this morning as we worship. Let us prepare our bodies for worship by closing our eyes, taking some deep breaths, slowing down our thoughts, bringing our awareness to this space. God is in this place and eager to speak with us this morning.
Please join in the call to worship. Come, Holy Spirit.
The wind of God, the breath of life.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Our advocate, our counselor.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Granter of forgiveness, giver of peace.
Come, Holy Spirit.
May we feel God breathing through our worship.
May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen.
Amen. Please join us for hymn number 267. Come, O Spirit, dwell among us. Please rise.
Thank you.
exalted God, you are the constant lover who never forsakes us. You are the mother who cradles her children. You are the teacher patiently repeating your words for us. We worship you. Jesus Christ, in you we are convinced God loves us. Through you we are formed into your people. With you we serve those the world has forgotten. We follow you. Holy Spirit, you are the power that gives us peace. You are the wisdom that reveals the broken in our midst. You are the spokesperson to whom we are deaf. We welcome you. God in community, holy in one, we lift our prayers to you. Amen. Please join me for hymn 420, We Praise You, O God. You may be seated. Once through, because we're going to use it in our prayer of confession. So we're going to sing once through the Spirit of the Living God, which is 283. Just once. So for the prayer of confession, we're going to just sing those first two lines during the prayer of confession. Merciful God, the gift of Jesus' life in us is visible in the way we witness the fruitfulness of that gift. We know that the gift of the Spirit consists of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yet so often we put conditions on our love and joy and peace are difficult to discern when our words and actions deny their presence.
Spirit of the living God, for
to most things these days, we confess that we forget what it's like to be patient. We find ourselves neglecting the needs of others because we run out of time to be kind to others. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. When we persistently make self-centered decisions rather than Christ-centered ones, our understanding of your goodness and faithfulness is weakened, and our discipleship lacks credibility. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. In this aggressive world, it's easy to believe one can't get anywhere by exercising a spirit of gentleness or self-control.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Gracious and merciful God, grant us your forgiveness and your love so that we may truly care for one another. Repeat with me, refresh and renew us with the Holy Spirit so that we are fruitful and vital disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm proud of you. We did it. That was hard. That was hard, but we did it. We did it. Siblings in Christ, God's Spirit does not leave us after the first Pentecost. The Spirit is still here with us, empowering us to know mercy and grace, forgiveness and service. In this spirit and through Christ, we proclaim the good news of the gospel. We are forgiven. Amen. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Christ be with you. Let us pass the peace with one another. Okay, let us pray. Creator Spirit, as we look at your creation and see our mistreatment, our squandering of resources, and the scars we left on the land, we pray that you create in us an eagerness to care for the world, whether it's in small ways such as sorting, recycling, or big ways such as investing in green technology. May we be as enthusiastic as you are for all creation. Spirit of Christ, as we see the brokenness of the world, the pain humanity inflicts on each other, the wars that ravage, we pray that you fill us with an urgency to share your gift of forgiveness, made possible by Jesus' self-giving. May we be instruments of peace and encouragers of grace within the communities we serve. Spirit of Truth, as we see the tangle of lies in the world, governments weaving false narratives to fulfill personal wants of power, and the use of dishonesty to gain status, we pray that you compel us to see the truth and to be advocates of justice. Stir us into action to make the world a fairer, safer, peaceful place. Spirit of Wisdom, it is so easy to rush in, to make quick decisions, to do what we believe is best without considering consequences. In our eagerness to care, our urgency to share, and our advocacy for justice, shower us with your wisdom so that we discern what is best and serve you rightly in the world. And as we pray for the things where we can bring about change, we offer those places, people, and situations which weigh heavy on our hearts and minds, where the breath of your Spirit needs to be inhaled, lessening anxieties, calming fears, bringing hope and healing. Spirit of God, fill us, fill our lives, fill the world with your presence and your peace, now and always. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the 104th Psalm, starting at verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you form to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. The second reading, we're not having a third, is Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had came, they were together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of those who are speaking Galatian? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in all our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon the flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents to the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, fall afresh on us this morning. Open our hearts and open our minds. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I've been thinking about birth stories since I decided to reaffirm my baptismal vows, which actually happened yesterday. I was fully dunked by my pastor in front of a small group of people. You see, I don't remember being baptized, even though my mom swears I was as a teenager. I don't have a memory, and there's not pictures, so. But also, now that, you know, I'm just saying, my mom has a lot of kids. Okay, but also, my current name, Sana del Corazon, isn't my birth name. I changed my last name when I got married 14 years ago. Del Corazon means of the heart in Spanish. I changed my first name when I started seminary. It came to me in a dream. I was taking Hebrew Bible 1, of course, reading about Abraham and all these people that changed their names. So God, I guess it was on my brain. And it was in a dream. I woke up and I heard someone saying, "Sana, sana." In Spanish, sana means whole or healthy. It also means... it also is the verb to heal. In Arabic, sana means brilliance or radiance. I knew accepting my call to ministry was the end of an era, the end of a former life, and I would no longer be the same person. So I decided to change my name. Today, it is my legal name. Sana del Corazon is my legal name. And even though my parents are very unhappy with that. I'm named after my mother. I just needed my own name. You understand. Okay. Oftentimes, an end is also a beginning. The end of winter signals the beginning of fall. The end of childhood signals the beginning of adulthood. The end of singlehood means the beginning of married life. I remember the day I gave birth to my son. My life as a child-free person ended. And I became a mom, and I've never slept the same since. I imagine the disciples also thought it was the end when Jesus was crucified, in spite of the fact that he told them it wouldn't be. The disciples hid in the upper room for a while, and then they went back to their old life. Do you remember John 21? It's one of my favorite stories. When Peter and the six disciples returned to fishing, they were catching nothing, and the resurrected Jesus appears to them on the shore. He instructs them to cast their nets on the right side, resulting in a miraculous catch. The disciples thought it was the end of life with Jesus. And in many ways it was. Jesus' death ended his earthly ministry. This was followed by his crucifixion, resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is where we find ourselves today in the story. In the Protestant West, Pentecost is celebrated as the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50th, originating from a Jewish tradition called the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost takes a place approximately 50 days after Passover. The Jewish Pentecost commemorates God's gift of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai 50 days after Exodus. The Feast of Weeks was a harvest festival in the late spring when the first fruits were presented to God in thanksgiving for grace and mercy. In today's passage of the Acts of the Apostle, we read about the first Pentecost after Jesus' ascension. A small crowd of 11 disciples plus Matthias, who's now the 12th apostle who was elected, women including Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, Jesus' brothers, and other followers are all gathered in a room on the highest floor of a house in Jerusalem, waiting for the manifestation that Jesus has promised. Just as Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells the crowd, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be a witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The promise was that the followers of Jesus would be baptized, not by water, but by the Holy Spirit. And as someone who grew up Pentecostal, I am very comfortable talking about the Holy Spirit, as Pentecostalism focuses on worship and spiritual practices of the Holy Spirit. We believe that believers can have direct experience with the presence of God. Yes, we speak in tongues. Pentecostals believe faith can be powerful, but must be experienced physically. It is not something you think about or reason with. The Holy Spirit, as God's breath and life, is an energetic, dynamic force that dwells within us and can move us, change us, and transform us. In the upper room where the first Pentecost took place, the small crowd was made up of 120 disciples. Do you know why 120? Because in Jewish tradition, you needed 120 names to start a new synagogue. Luke, the anonymous author of the Acts of the Apostle, is signifying to us that this group of people, these followers of Jesus, were becoming a new synagogue or new church, a new people resurrected, redeemed by Christ. All the believers were gathered in one place waiting upon the Holy Spirit that was promised to them by Jesus. When I read this passage, I wonder, what did these disciples of Jesus imagine would happen when the Spirit descended on them? Did they anticipate speaking in foreign tongues? Did they imagine the wind and the chaos? We know from the scriptures that they were afraid and unsure of themselves. Their teacher had left them and they felt at a loss. Acts 2 tells us about the sound of rushing wind and the tongues of fire. And what we know from the Hebrew Bible is that we always see signs of God's presence on earth through the earth. Whether it's a burning bush, fire, earthquake, or thunder, God's presence is felt and seen through the earth. Luke is telling us through the images of air and fire that the new church Jesus' church is filled with God's presence. Spirit is the very essence of God that is ever present. I am reminded that the Holy Spirit didn't just appear at Pentecost. She's been with God from the very beginning. She was in the story of creation in Genesis, the Spirit hovering over the waters, the formless void of the earth. The Spirit changed chaos into creation. She breathed into humans and inspired rulers and prophets. The Holy Spirit was intimately connected with Jesus from conception to ascension and beyond. Before Mary conceived Jesus, an angel spoke to her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Jesus was anointed with the Spirit when he was baptized by John the Baptist, who was also filled with the Spirit. Soon after Jesus was directed by the Spirit to go into the wilderness to be tested, there are many stories throughout the Bible that describe Jesus as full of the Spirit before he prophesied, before he performed miracles, before he preached. Jesus did nothing without the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 44 reminds us that God promised to pour the Spirit upon his descendants and their blessings and offspring. And this is what's happening here in the upper room. In the story of the Pentecost, the Spirit is poured out upon the followers and taking up residence in the earliest Christians to guide their destiny. So what is the difference between the first Christian Pentecost and the Holy Spirit prior to the birth of the church? What's the big deal? In the past, God sent the Holy Spirit to a chosen few. But the first Christian Pentecost brought in a new era. It birthed a new church where God gave the Holy Spirit to all, not just to a chosen few. In the first Pentecost, we learn God's nature. The Spirit is accessible to all of us. The Spirit demonstrated divine hospitality and inclusivity. God desires diversity and difference, not conformity or homogeneity. God gave us the gift, the Holy Spirit, so that we become the new body of Christ. We become the body of Jesus alive and active in the world. Through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we reconcile ourselves to God and proclaim the good news of the gospel. We now are the hands, the feet, the eyes, and ears of Jesus. We are called to bear witness to Christ and be another Christ in the world. And we do this through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells and abides in us. Just like the story of creation, the Holy Spirit hovers over the disciples and fills us up. As much as Luke wants to maintain respectability in the story of saying of how pious the disciples were, the reality is that the Holy Spirit isn't tame as we witness people speaking tongues. And there seems to be chaos in this scene. Theologian Zaida Maldonado Perez writes this: "The Holy Spirit is the subversive wild child of the Trinity. She stirs things up. She is elusive yet fully present. She is full of possibility and creative potential. She is the wonder that moves our questions from what does this all mean to what shall we do? She can forever alter our lives and change our world. She is life-giving breath, wind, and fire. She is the Ruha Elohim. She wants to be encountered by all. She is calming spirit amid the storm. She is wisdom. She is part of the Godhead that cannot be possessed. However, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God's vessel, only if we allow ourselves to be." Father Henry Nguyen reminds us of this. When we speak about the Holy Spirit, we speak about the breath of God breathing on us. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which means breath. We are seldom aware of our breathing. It's so essential for life that we only think about it when something goes wrong with it. The Spirit of God is like our breath. God's Spirit is more intimate to us than we are to ourselves. We might not often be aware of it, but without it, we cannot live a a spiritual life. In this first Pentecost, we witness the power of the Holy Spirit and its power to cause people to speak in other tongues. We witness the miracle of multiple languages being spoken, but each person hearing their own language. Since there were many pilgrims in Jerusalem during this festival, the Holy Spirit allowed every person to hear the good news in their own language. This cacophony testifies that God's message is inclusive. We can all access the Spirit of God. It simply requires asking and being open. From this scene in the upper room, we see that folks were gathered and praying and seeking to connect with God. They sought a Spirit of God and welcomed it to govern their lives, and they were transformed by it. We know the Spirit of God by the fruits of the Spirit, how people live and love in their lives, how people speak and treat others with humility, kindness, patience, honesty, generosity. That's how you know the fruits of the Spirit. And to access the Spirit of God, we must already recognize that it is already here with us. We must be receptive to God's Spirit and ask it to guide us. Communing with others helps us to hear and bear witness to the Spirit. Richard Rohr writes, even though we often pray, come, Holy Spirit, come, the gift of the Spirit is already given. The Holy Spirit has already come. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. The only difference is the degree that we know it, that we draw upon it, and that we're conscious to believe in it. All the scriptural images of Spirit are dynamic. Flowing water, descending dove, fire and wind. If there's never any movement or energy or excitement or deep love or forgiveness or surrender, you can be pretty sure we don't have the Spirit. If our whole lives are just moving through the motions, if there's never any deep conviction and deep passion, we don't have the Spirit. We would do well to fan the flames of love. God does not give us the Holy Spirit to those of us who are worthy, because none of us are worthy. God gives us the Holy Spirit to those who want it. So no, it is not the end. It is only the beginning. A transition period can feel like an ending, and in some ways it is. It's the end of an era. But the Bible reminds us, as the body of Christ, we are constantly being born again and again and again into new life. God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to move us into new creative possibilities to spread love and justice to all and for all in Lesore. But it means we must be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. Are we willing? Amen.
Thank you.
today we celebrate the start of the church, the day of Pentecost, the day when the original disciples were filled with the Spirit. What God's Spirit is moving us to do in our day may look foolish to others, but we know that giving generously is never foolish. Let us present our offerings. Dedication. Living God, accept the offerings we bring to you in a variety of ways, through our voices, our talents, our resources, and our time. Grant that they may go where we cannot go, that they may reach where we cannot reach, that they may do what we cannot do. Use them to strengthen your church and fulfill our purpose in the world. Amen. Thank you. Please join me for the closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing, number 76.
Thank you.
Jesus said to us, "Peace be with you. As Abba God sent me, I am sending you. With the Holy Spirit as your sure companion, go and do God's will, following the way of Jesus. As you go, may the blessing of God, the Eternal One, the Incarnate One, and the Abiding One be with you always. Amen."